From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for joining us. On today's show, I'm sitting down with New Hanover County Commissioner Stephanie Walker to talk about her perspective on the county's budget negotiations, which are going on right now. Walker, who was recently elected to her first term as a commissioner in November after serving for 4 years on the county's school board, campaigned as a strong education advocate. So we asked her about education funding, but also other issues, including the proposed removal of the county's DEI program and how the endowment could step in with certain funding priorities. This is our interview recorded on the afternoon of Wednesday, March 12th. All right, Commissioner Stephanie Walker, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
So we're here to talk about everyone's favorite topic, which is taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are facing a pretty significant revaluation across the county, which puts some options on the table. And also, we've heard from plenty of people who are concerned that their property taxes will be going up. So I want to unpack how you are seeing all of this.
Okay.
So to start, we know that there's been some concern. I'm going to say this in every time I interview a commissioner, is that, we have seen the numbers somewhere around 62% mm-hmm. is the average increase in property values. So I know that there are people who think that means their property taxes are going to yeah. automatically increase 62%. Just give you the chance, reassure people that's not what's happening.
That is absolutely not what's happening. And it's easy to think that, if you see that much of an increase, first of all, it is required by law that it's done in North Carolina every 8 years, but we do it every 4, which is a good thing, I think. Some may argue we should do it more than that. But my home also went up a lot. But the tax, the revaluation process and the value of your home is different than the tax rate. So right now our tax rate, I believe, is 0.45. And so we have to see what the budget is asking for before a tax rate is set. So it doesn't necessarily mean it, well, it doesn't mean your tax rate. And we had a budget meeting last week, and it was clear that the rate will come down. We just don't know what it is going to be yet. It cannot be revenue neutral because, first of all, we have to look at what our budget's going to be, and that has not been fully played out yet. We have 2 more budget meetings, and the schools still have to come to us.
Right, and I'm going to get into some of those things. So mm-hmm. just for people, if they are trying to play along at home with the math, yeah. revenue neutral in theory, right, would be 28 cents
yes.
For every $100 of property value. I think even the most fiscally hawkish people on the board with you have said that's not realistic.
No.
And Chris Coudray, your county manager, has said, give or take, this is not an exact number, but somewhere in the neighborhood of $68 million is how much more it is costing the county to do business as usual this year compared to the last time we did a reval.
That's correct.
And based on that, so call it an adjusted revenue neutral. I'm not an accountant. That might not be the exact
I'm not either.
Term. But if you accounted for just inflation, we'd be looking at 36 or 37 cents, somewhere in that neighborhood,
right.
would be a realistic number. I've heard from people in the accounting world that, would effectively be the government is as efficient as it was over the last 4 years, but we're just adjusting for the new property values.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. But like I said, I know some people feel like, oh, we got to slash it all the way down. But we haven't seen what has been presented to us yet, what's going to be presented from different groups under the county. I'm not thinking of the words right now, but, we have departments, thank you, that's it, that are going to come to us and report to us, and the schools still need to come to us and let us know what their ask is for. Because, even though they are a separate political entity, the county does do a lot of funding for schools. And so they're going to come to us. They're having the same issues that everybody is with their budget about the cost of things going up. And it's just a fact. It has. And honestly, if I have to make another point, like if you've bought in the last probably 2 years, you bought at these rates. And so in a way, it kind of it equalizes a little bit. I know it's not exactly the term I'm looking for, but if somebody down the street from you has paid $400,000 for their home, but your value was, $250, it kind of equals a lot of things out because they're essentially paid a higher rate than you.
Exactly. And I think, if you have been following, for example, Zillow prices, yeah. I have this dream house in the neighborhood near me. I just love the look of the house. Mm-hmm. So I put like a reminder to see if it ever goes on the market.
Yeah.
So if you're watching those Zillow prices, mm-hmm. this appraisal won't be a shock to you. But if you've been looking things up on the county's GIS site,
mm-hmm.
you'll go, holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I give this example all the time. I mean, housing prices are never going to be what they were gosh, I was saying even 2 years ago. But for a person that's lived here my entire life, there has been tremendous change in the value of homes. People are moving here. Businesses are coming here. Things have gone up, and that's nobody's fault except, you know, we made it a nice place to live, and people want to keep coming here. So I would hope at some point it levels out, but, you know, I'm not the predictor. I'm not the person that would know that.
And the county, there's not a ton you guys can do about
it. No, that's correct.
This is a 900-pound gorilla.
That's correct, yes.
All right, so I want to get into some of the things that will shape, I mean, 37 cents, 28 cents, 45 cents. These are numbers, but they represent, you know, taxpayer dollars that go into things that the county does.
Correct.
And we've seen in past years when the county has cut things, you know, some people are like, hey, wait, mm-hmm. I enjoyed that service.
Yeah.
So you've got on the current Board of Commissioners a unique experience because you're almost unique experience because you're coming from the school board.
Correct.
So you've been there watching the finances for the last few years, and you've seen the school board try to deal with, you know, the tailing off of federal COVID relief funds. I mean, do you have a sense of where the school is at and what the school will need?
I do. I don't want to get ahead of it. I think the good thing that is happening in this budget cycle that was unique from last one was there has been a lot more communication. There's been a lot more listening and learning and, you know, and figure out what the schools need to run an efficient school system. Obviously, they would probably ask for a lot more if they could. And I won't get ahead of their presentation, but, you know, there is going to be an ask from schools because, like the county and like everything else, everything's gone up. And to stay competitive with salaries, you know, you're going to have to adjust for that. And I don't, you know, my experience on the school board has been that we've done a lot of cuts. And I think we're as slim as we can be to run an efficient school system. You know, if I had my way, I would like to have more positions out there, you know. And with the feedback I've gotten with the work with the turnaround task force is, you know, some of our schools, they need have higher needs. But if, you know, if you're on a school board in North Carolina and in New Hanover County, there's not a lot you can do except ask.
Right.
And, you know, wish the state funded schools a little bit better. Funding formula has not changed in a very long time. So it is kind of become more of a county ask more and more as we go. And, you know, I have my theory and my philosophy on how I feel about that. Other people might not feel the same, but I feel like we're raising a workforce here, and I just think it's important to invest in our schools. But I'll leave that there for now.
Yeah. So I watched the last budget meeting, and you know, the county's budgeting staff, again, they were ballparking, but it did look like a few hundred dollars more per student that would take you from somewhere in the $3,700 per student to like the low 4,000s. So there's some percentage increase that the school is likely looking at, correct, if nothing else for just cost of living.
Right, that's correct. And I don't want to get ahead because I know, like in all discussions, it depends on what you're adding up for what the schools are getting. You know, there are some folks that want to include social workers in there and the SROs and all that. The operating budget is a little bit kind of apart from that and definitely wholly apart from the capital.
Yeah, so I do want to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you have to kind of put these things in different kind of categories and buckets. They're all essential. They're all important. And, you know, like I said, because things have gone up, it's kind of like I just think, you know, coming from where I came from and going through four budget seasons with schools, it's super complicated for school boards. And now that I'm with the county, I talk about the value of education all the time. So that's not going to be a surprise to most people.
I mean, on paper, I hear many people are supportive of education spending. Again, even people who would like to see the county workforce reduced or the county efficiency increased are still pretty supportive of education.
Yeah, that's my take.
You gotta wait for the actual vote, but so far, but I do want to pull out the issue of capital because it's worth explaining this to people any chance you get, because there is like operational funding. You know, those are, you know, teachers and social workers and your day-to-day expenses. And then there are like big capital expenses, like, for example, a new high school, like one that is near and dear to you.
Yes, very much so.
So we're talking about New Hanover High School.
Yeah, it's capital. And for folks that don't know, capital needs are a separate budget item than operating expenses for schools. And usually how the breakdown is with the operating side, it's funded state, federal, and local. Capital is uniquely local. So there are a lot of needs that our county has, whether people think that we're going to kind of slow down on the growth for school-age children or not, we are at capacity in a lot of our schools, and there are a lot of schools that have needs, and it's not just, I mean, New Hanover High School is a prime example of the need, and probably, I hate to say, the worst example. You know, when I went to school there, it had issues then. It's a 100-year-old school, so it needs a lot. But again, costs of things are a lot more than they used to be, so it's going to cost a lot more to fix, and we need to see what the capital plan says for New Hanover High School specifically. But, you know, we also need to be mindful of all the other needs, capital needs of the schools as well, and whether or not we need, we've had recommendations over the years, you know, whether you make, you know, Trask a freshman wing or Laney to help fix that problem or not. I don't know all the answers yet, but there are needs there, and that has to be dealt with. There's a lot of ways you could do it. I would like to get creative, but, you know, a bond is one. And we could tap into other things. But I don't know what it looks like yet, but that doesn't mean the needs aren't there. And sure. So we have to have the conversation.
I do want to note, for people who don't exactly understand the process, so to put a school bond on, it literally goes on the ballot.
Correct. And from my understanding, there's a run-up to that. So if it was to go on the ballot in 2026, it would need approval from the local county.
The local government commission.
Thank you very much. Yeah. A lot of acronyms. And then it has to be, will have to be placed on the ballot. I think what needs to be clear is what kind of bond in. And I learned at the tail end of my budget season on the school board that there is right now a bond cap. So when you talk about bonds that go on a ballot, it's not just for school bonds. It's for any bonds that have been taken out in the last whatever time. I learned there were already two school bonds that were paying debt service on. And so to do another one, I just don't think it will cover the entire need, you know, entirety of the needs for schools. But we'll have to see what that looks like, what that plays out like, and how we can be creative with funding for capital needs.
Speaking of which, one other question along the capital needs line. Earlier this week, I believe it was the New Hanover County Endowment. I believe it's now just going as the Endowment, like Madonna, one name.
I like that.
Is announced a grant for the aquarium.
Sort
of a capital needs grant, and from what I understand, this has sparked some excitement because there was an understanding early in the endowment's history that it wasn't really supposed to be injecting money into the government. And I believe the thinking has evolved a little bit. We've seen some funding that went into, for example, the nursing pipeline, which goes into Cape Fear Community College mm-hmm. and the high school, and also UNCW. And now we've got, endowment funding going into the North Carolina State Aquarium. And so the thinking has evolved to the point where, hey, maybe a large capital project might also be helped along by the endowment.
I like the sound of that, first of all. Second of all, so the endowment, I think their main thing, well, it's evolved, right? It's. I feel like there's been some leadership changes. There's been some building up of capacity of the endowment, which I think is a great move. I think there's kind of been an opening, you know, the new rainbow scheme and, you know, the lower down, you know, it's more accessible. But I think the main thing I took from the endowment conversation is they don't want to fund operating costs of things. That didn't necessarily mean they wouldn't fund capital things. And I don't think they've ever explicitly said they wouldn't, unless I missed something. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. But I think you've got fresh eyes on a lot of things and a lot of professionals that are coming in now and saying, hey, maybe we can do that. And I like that opening of that. I've tried to be as, you know, communicative with folks on the endowment as I can. I've had some meetings and talked about different needs, obviously, from where I come from and where I think would be helpful. But I like the idea of – I like to see that because I think that does open it up for a little bit, you know, more of a conversation on what are the needs are. But you think about it, there's four pillars. There's things you can fit under all those four pillars. And we need to be creative as possible because, you know, as whether or not I was a fan of the hospital sale, it doesn't matter anymore. It is the endowment's here. And it was supposed to create generational change for our community. And it has the opportunity to do that. And I want to see it. I want to see that happen.
Yeah. And just, I mean, for the record, in the endowment's sort of defense, their argument has been large grants that were for operational costs.
Correct.
It's basically artificially propping up, say, a nonprofit.
Right.
And if you do a one-year grant and then you don't get the grant the next year, right, it's going to be a pretty hard crash out, as mm-hmm. opposed to if you build infrastructure, whether that's, you know, a school or water and sewer pipeline, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That it's one and done. It's paid for. It's there, and you can build on it.
Right. And I think I attended most of those you know, they had grant cycles every September. I know it's rolling. I think it's rolling now, but like every September. And, you know, the main argument from a lot of local nonprofits was, well, what did we do wrong? What do we need to do? We need help figuring out what you want from us. You know, and I've heard, you know, capacity, collaboration from the endowment side of it. And the frustration is, you know, that's correct. You don't want to prop up a nonprofit. On to their defense, yes, you want to see an organization that is doing well and, you know, needs specific, like, you know, projects or programs they want to fund. But then on the backside of it, like, then from their side, how do you know if that's successful or not? So there needed to be a process, and I don't think there was necessarily. I think they're building that right now, from what I gather.
Along these lines, I'm curious, your fellow Commissioner Dane Scalise has suggested basically shifting the county's nonprofit funding over to the endowments, the non-agency funding. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, as a new person, I'm kind of new to the concept. I've known about the non-agency funding, I believe it's called. I've got the big folder in my office, and I think there have been like 70-plus applications. You know, I think it's a good idea for the county to invest in things that are happening in our community in different ways. I feel like it's a nod and maybe even a leverage point for some nonprofits that, you know, need a little assistance. And there are organizations out there that do a lot of work. I wouldn't say for the county, but like I'll give the example of the YMCA. They do a ton of stuff for the community. And I don't want to they just came top of mind. So I'm not endorsing or not, but I'm basically saying there are organizations out there that do a lot in our community, and that little boost is helpful to them in a lot of ways. And they've had it since I don't know when, but it's been there. And I think taking that away now, I don't think it's a good idea. And again, to your point, it's like, well, you're going to put something off onto the endowment again because we think we don't need to fund that. Plus, it shows a positivity towards, you know, the work that folks are doing in the community.
All right. So I should ask, are there other places you do think the county could tighten its belt a little bit?
You know, I would like to see the full budget first. And I don't mean to be evasive, but I have not seen every, like I said, I've seen budgets on the school board side, but I'm new here, and I would like to get the full experience of looking at a full budget, seeing the needs first. I definitely ran on public education, and I did run on, you know, conservation and looking at our environment in a lot of ways. I don't know where that fits yet. I am concerned. I think they did come to us, the landfill and the environmental folks in our county came to us. But I'm concerned about the lifespan of the landfill. Yeah. I don't know where that fits in this budget. Maybe it's a question for next year. I don't know, but something has to be done because, you know, 20 or so years, I've heard 23, I've heard less than 20, you know, a hurricane could wipe that out. We need a plan for that. So there are going to be needs that maybe I don't even know about yet, and I have not seen them yet. And I like a chance to look at it and make a decision that way instead of saying, this is what I'm exactly going to do or not going
to
do.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, yes, the landfill is precariously low on space. And if we put the amount of just, you know, debris in it that we did after Florence.
Yeah. We lost 60 years, I was told.
Yeah. We'd be in trouble.
And I think we were directed to take refuge. What's it called? Refuge from other counties.
Right.
Because they just didn't other. I don't think a lot of people understand. We're unique in the sense we have a landfill. Not all counties have that. They ship their trash out. And, I mean, ideally, we'd like to have as least amount of trash as possible. But, like, that's a plan that's going to take longer than 1 year to sort out. But things like that, I want to start a conversation over. Like I said, maybe not for this budget year, but we'll see. We just need to see, you know, before we make judgment calls.
So last question I'll ask about, you know, maybe cutting, because we've heard quite a bit from people about this, in favor and against, is the county's DEI department.
Oh.
Not the most expensive. I believe it's $600,000.
Yeah.
So it's hard to imagine that would show up. I believe it's a dollar and change for the average house.
Yes.
But it's been suggested that if this were to fly in the face of executive orders from the White House, that this could cost the county money. Have you guys gotten into that kind of potential ramification?
We have not had a full discussion on that. Mm-hmm. I guess at this point, it just depends on your maybe philosophy or how you see things. And I know people are nervous about what's going on federally. I tend to try and stay as local as possible because, you know, that's really where the concern is for me as an elected person. But I support our DEI department. I just think, as a person that has grown up here and has seen the progression of, you know, the way of life that has gotten a lot better, the economy that's gotten better, I'd like to see that continue with the work in that department, and I support it. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and just say it, and I hope that it's not cut from the budget.
Another issue I've heard, and this is from education advocates, mm-hmm. brought this to my attention last budget cycle, and we had some reporting about it, was that there was a lot of hemming and hawing, I'll put it politely, about the education budget, about how much public schools were going to get, whether they were asking for too much, mm-hmm. whether they were asking for enough. But there was a lot of conversation around it. You saw that from your side on the school board. I saw that covering the county budget meetings. There was remarkably less conversation about the sheriff's office budget. I believe they needed something like $18 million extra, in large part because of overtime and recruiting. Is that a can of worms you want to open up and look at sort of the what is going on with the financials in the sheriff's office? Because there wasn't much public discussion of it.
I don't know that we've had that update yet. I mean, maybe I'm getting confused with last year's budget. I don't know. But I do remember the kind of the theory was that, you know, in order to retain, recruit and retain and keep our area safe, there are needs. That's not much different than what schools need and teachers need and first responders need. So I don't know about opening up a can of worms on that. I would like to see first the presentation, but honestly, it's like with the county. I think we just kind of adjusted some salaries there because, you know, if you've got a competitor, if you've got somewhere else that's attracting that person, they're going to leave. And I think they're having a hard time retaining and recruiting anyway. So to stay competitive, you have to realistically adjust wages. You either, you know, like especially when we have this housing, you know, crisis. I hate to use negative language, but anyway, well, we do. We have a housing problem, and you either bring wages up or you lower the price. I mean, it's got to work some way. Otherwise, you're going to just price people out, and they're going to leave. And so, if you want to retain enough people to keep our streets safe and keep our firefighters paid or teachers paid, then you just realistically have to adjust for that.
No, I take your point. I mean, it's the people we've spoken with about the affordable housing crisis. I don't know if I feel the need to sugarcoat
okay.
it. It's a crisis.
It is.
Have said, yeah, there are two sides to that. Sorry. You can try various interventions to bring down the cost of housing, but you can also try to make people have better incomes.
That's so correct.
You know, and so one of the things we've seen, and I hear from these folks all the time, is that as you drive into, you know, Pender County and Brunswick County through Leland up through Hampstead, you will see Wilmington police officer cruisers. You'll mm-hmm. see, you know, people who work for Novant because they can't afford
New Hanover County schools,
New Hanover County vehicles.
Well, they all come. Well, we have a lot of people that commute in.
Yeah.
To your point. And that's the thing. What's unique to New Hanover is we are a second smallest county and we have dwindling land and inventory is not. It's not there. And affordability is sadly not there unless you've been here for a very long time and, you know, have a lot of equity in your home and you don't have like that higher price. But it's growing this much. I think it's been pretty fast. Like I mean, even since COVID, I think people have discovered us somehow and things have kind of been flipped around and we're at a crisis level where we either do something or, you know, or what, I don't know. But it is a problem. In poli sci, I'll nerd out a little bit, it's called a wicked problem. There are things that you cannot fix completely, but you just have to adjust to. You know, I'll say the same thing with homelessness or, you know, the same thing with some of the poverty we have here. It's concerning, but we can't shy away from it. It is what it is, and we have to figure it out. And I don't want to create this whole us against them because I feel like that's what's been done a lot, you know, from the school board. I feel like that's kind of what's been, you know, what do they want now, you know? But in my argument is we're all the same. Like New Hanover County Schools is the second largest employer. And I'm saying that in the sense of things have gone up, things have changed. In order for people to stay, be able to live here, then you have to adjust for that. Otherwise, you lose to other people. So, I mean, it is what it is. I can't stop housing prices from going up. But, you know, it shouldn't be an us versus them. We should look at it as a holistic issue. Yeah.
When you say us versus them, do you mean like locals versus those damn Yankees?
No, I do not mean that at all.
Okay.
A lot of my budget memory is with the school board. So when I kind of refer to that, it almost feels like it's like we're separate people. We are separately elected bodies, but we are all the same people.
The county versus the school?
Yeah, and I don't mean to sound horrible about that, but like when I know the frustrating part, and this last budget season was very frustrating on the scores, like I feel like we are all part of the solution on all multiple levels, and I think we have to look at it that way. And or if we, well, for example, we just had a large Amazon facility just break ground here that could bring anywhere from 1 to 2,000 jobs, well, you know, at least 1,000 or more jobs and potentially create more. And I just read a little bit of a summary on Professor Gutabi's thing on economics, where he talks about your business will come here, which is great, and they're bringing in other folks. We want to grow our workforce here, which means we have to change the way we look at investing in schools and our children from birth, perhaps, or pre-K, early child, all the way up, because we want the opportunities of the three E's. That's the buzz kind of term now. See if I get this right. Employment, enlistment. What's the third? I always forget it. Employment, enlistment, or education.
That's it.
Yeah. Got it. It's because not everybody's on a college path, and that's okay. I just think we have to look at it differently.
Yeah. Again, for people who didn't catch this, my colleague Kelly Kinoyer had some reporting on this, and Johanna Still at the Assembly. Musin Gutabi is an economist at UNCW.
Yes.
Has a really detailed report coming out that shows, you know, and it almost tracks that the better the job or the higher paying the job is, the smaller percentage of the workforce that comes from here in Wilmington.
Right.
You know, you open up a fintech company that's paying $150,000 a year, you get people from Raleigh and Chapel Hill and Charlotte. So it's building that workforce has been top of mind for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. Including me. And that's why I just hope that we look at it as the ask of the schools as an ask for support and investment. And even though it's a tough conversation to have, because I think the schools have cut a lot. And I think this budget cycle has been a little bit different than the past ones where you've really known what's going on. I think they've tried very hard to be as trim as possible, but serve our students, and that's the important part. And, you know, I think eventually, you know, I won't be school board brain as much. But at the same time, that's by progression. That's why I decided to come to the county, because I didn't think I could do more at the school board level.
So understanding that you are coming from the school board, you did campaign on it. That was what you promised to represent for people. Mm-hmm. And are there other priorities now that you're at the county that you're looking forward to taking a look at, or that you've already taken a look at during this Yeah. budget negotiation season?
Yes. Well, in my office, I have folders now, and it's trying to keep everything straight. There are the housing and homelessness issue. I sit on the COG, the Council of Government. They do a lot of work with the housing and the homelessness issue, and it is a problem that we need to collectively talk about. Maybe regionally. Well, the COG is a regional organization, but it is something that I don't think should be ignored. So I'm not going to say I'm excited about it, but it is a problem that needs to be talked about. And there aren't easy solutions to a lot of these, but it deserves attention, because, you know, I personally, you know, seen the rise in homelessness and housing insecurity, and it is, some of it's related to policy, some of it's related to obviously just the cost of things going up. At the same time, I think it needs the attention of elected folks. So that's one. You know, I'm not an environmentalist per se, but I've always really cared about this area. And I would say for me, Hurricane Florence was the worst hurricane I have ever experienced. And I've been through a lot of them, most of them over the last 50 plus years. And that was the worst. And I've never seen water like that. And so I am concerned about flooding. I'm concerned about the safety of folks, even in the southern part of the county. There's only one way out, and that's up, you know, Caroline Beach Road. And so anyway, all that is to say, I really care about those issues. And I was involved in my own little private citizen thing when it came to development, because I was concerned about stormwater. And as an Ogden resident, I'm still concerned about stormwater. Nobody imagined, what was it, last year, that they'd get 20 inches on Carolina Beach. You just can't predict it as much anymore, and I've never seen that much water. And the more that's built, and if it's not done right, the more that's going to flood. And so that concerns me, too.
So let me ask you this as my sort of last question for you. Mm-hmm. Is when you are out in the county talking to people, do you get a barometer of what people are, you know, willing to invest as taxpayers, you know, beyond, you know, revenue neutral is, you know, just a word, but I mean, in mm-hmm. more, you know, generally, philosophically, how do you get a sense of where do people want the county to be in terms of how much service they're providing?
So feedback I've gotten, because we just had an election, and so it was a good kind of barometer. And actually, the questions we got were pretty much in line with what people were concerned about. Education, I think, was important. Probably, maybe more than that would be how we're developing, development issues. You know, there's some things county commissioners can't necessarily always stop, like certain developments. There's that whole buy right versus what's best, because we're a little bit hamstrung on the state level. We're a Dillon's rural state. There's a lot of things you can't do local, and even it seems like there are more and more things that are being restrictive as far as local decisions are concerned. But that, to me, that's what I heard a lot of. Very, very concerned with the environment here. Very concerned with flooding and destroying, you know, some of the natural stuff, you know, that's been here for a long, very long time. The Western Bank conversation, that's a big deal. You know, there's this development up in the northern part of the county that people are a little concerned about, too. So development was big. Development was a very big deal to most of the people that I spoke to and I campaigned and I spoke about. So, yes, that homelessness as well. All the things that we've already touched on are the things that people have said to me are concerned about. And there are some people, at least, that have given me feedback. I know there are some folks that are really worried about this tax rate. I'm hoping, once it's set, it's obviously not going to be as high as the tax rate itself is it's not going to be as high. But I think there are some feedback I've gotten that they're willing to pay a little bit more if it helps, you know, it helps invest in the community and, you know, our environment here and also our way of life here. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying that correct.
I think you are. Yeah. And I will make a pitch. I'm going to do this every time I can. Is that the county does have a fun online tool where you can kind of tweak the numbers yourself and play along at home. If you think this is easy, you can. I spent about half an hour with this tool and realized it was not that easy.
Oh, right. I'm sure there's calculators out there.
Yeah. Well, the county set one up.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, tweaking like the public safety budget. And I was like, oh, man, that got real expensive real fast.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. Things cost. And I think people generally understand that, but when revaluation happens and tax rates and budgets get done, they get a little worried, and that's understandable, you know. But like I said, revaluation has to be done, and we have budgets to pass. So, you know, people want to be safe. People want kids to be educated, and people want our environment to be, you know, to be good. Then we really have to see what's coming on the budget.
All right. Well, obviously, lots of other things we could talk about. But as far as it pertains to the budget season and taxes and stuff like that, anything else you would want to say?
I'm excited to be here with the county. You know, a lot of people ask me how it's been. It's different than school board, obviously. But at the same time, it's the work, and that's what I enjoy doing. I'm here, you know, I'm a regular person, citizen. I've been involved in public service in different capacities over the years, but I feel like this is a good place for me to be, and I want to advocate for what's best for everyone. So, agree or not agree, you know, or disagree with me, I've always been very plain and clear about how I feel about the issues. And there was an election that just happened, so I hope that everybody isn't too upset or worried about what's going to happen. I think pay attention, you know, watch the meetings, come and speak if you have something to say, reach out to commissioners or elected folks, and voice your opinion.
That is good advice. And I do encourage people to watch the meetings. For people who want to follow along with this at home, when is your next budget meeting?
We have our next budget meeting is March 20th, and then we have another one after that, April 21st.
And then after that, it's go time.
Yes. Well, the schools will submit theirs. That may happen at the 21st meeting. I'm not 100% on that, but yeah. Then it's go time.
All right. Well, Commissioner Stephanie Walker, thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
All right. Well, that's it for today's show. My thanks to Commissioner Stephanie Walker. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us for the next edition of The Newsroom.